वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 23, Text 26.
Nanva adhamai kurvanti, kushalah swartha darshinaha, ahaituki avyavyahitam, भक्तिमात्मा प्रिये यथा नान्व अधामै कुर्वन्ति कुशलः स्वार्थदर्शिनः अहैतुकी अव्यवहितम् भक्तिम् आत्मप्रिये यथा नन्व धामै कुर्वन्ति कुशला स्वार्थदर्शिनः अहैतुकी अव्यवहितम् भक्तिम् आत्मप्रिये यथा
Matajis. Word-to-word translation. Nanu, certainly. Adaha, directly. Mai, unto me. Kurvanti, they perform. Kushalaha, those who are expert. Swaartha, their own true benefit. Darshinaha, who perceive. Ahaituki, unmotivated. Avyavahitam, uninterrupted. Bhaktim, devotional service. Atma, to the soul. Priye, who am most dear. Yatha, properly. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Certainly, expert personalities who can see their own true interest render unmotivated and uninterrupted devotional service directly unto me. For I am most dear to the soul. Purport. The Supreme Lord informed the Brahmanas' wives that not only they but all people who recognize their true self-interest take to the spiritual process of loving service to the Lord. Lord Krishna is Atma Priya, the real object of love for everyone. Although each individual has his own taste and freedom, ultimately every living being is a spiritual spark of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus everyone's primary loving attraction is constitutionally meant for Lord Shri Krishna. Loving service to the Lord should be ahituki, without personal motive, and avyavahita, unobstructed by mental speculation. Selfish desire or any quirk of time and circumstance.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Tadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Feel very honored, at the same time very unqualified to sit here. Actually, today Gopinath Chandra Prabhu was supposed to give class. And taking inspiration from him, how he likes to hear. I would like to speak, although I'm speaking from the 10th canto, but reflect more on this aspect of hearing. Here in this pastime specifically, we see how the Brahmana Patanis, the wives of the Brahmanas, they have been ask for some service. It is very rare that Krishna asks anybody for some service. And it's not possible to get darshan of Krishna. In the Bhagavatam, there is also a description that how in Dwarka, a brahmana's children start dying, newborn babies. And he blames Maharaj Ugrasen for such untimely death of his infants. And then Lord Krishna, he does not say anything. And Arjun, he takes an objection and he says that nobody is able to protect, I will protect. And the next time the baby is born, Arjuna is guarding. And although he has protected the maternity ward from all directions with his arrows, still the baby disappears. And then Lord Krishna, he goes searching for everywhere, couldn't find the baby anywhere, not even in Yamalok, not in any of these 14 planetary systems. And so he decides to enter fire. And then Lord Krishna says, don't worry, I'll help you because you're my friend. And they both go on a chariot and they go beyond this material universe. And they go to a place where there is Lord Mahavishnu lying down. And Lord Krishna and Arjun meet Mahavishnu and he offers, Srila Prabhupada says Mahavishnu shook hands with Lord Krishna. And then Arjun asked that why were the children stolen by him? Or Lord Krishna asked Mahavishnu, because Mahavishnu says, I wanted to take your darshan. So the question may be asked that if nobody else stole the kids, the children, Mahavishnu himself personally stole. So if Mahavishnu came to Dwarka to steal the children, then why didn't he just come and take darshan of the Lord? But the answer is that even without the permission of the Lord, one cannot take darshan of the Lord. If he does not desire, even Mahavishnu cannot take darshan of the Lord. And here, the Brahmana Patnis, they are so fortunate. Lord Krishna is asking for some service. And they are going to get service, they are going to get darshan, they are going to get the blessings. And this facility was also available to their husbands, but they did not take the advantage. So, the Brahman Patnis have never seen Krishna before. Time and again, this theme is repeated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are so many devotees of Lord Krishna who have never seen Krishna. I have not heard, but deities of Krishna existed since in all yugas. But they become more prominent in one yuga and the worship becomes more prominent in that yuga. Maybe during that time there were deities. But it is never mentioned in any place, or I have heard, that there were Krishna temples and people would go and worship Krishna. Krishna existed personally over there. And devotees never saw. Still they had an intense attraction for Krishna. So we don't have anything to lose if we have not seen Krishna. We were not personally present at the time when Krishna was present. Because so many of the devotees of Krishna, pure devotees, have never seen Krishna. But they developed intense love and attraction for Krishna. In the case of the Brahman Patnis, they develop the highest conjugal love for Krishna. So, how did they develop that type of attraction for Krishna? They develop such attraction by hearing about Krishna. So it's very important to hear about Krishna, and is the easiest way taking you directly to a platform where one can develop what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us, you know, what the gopi bhava is, simply by sitting and hearing. The Brahmana Patnis would hear so much about all the pastimes of Krishna which he would perform in Vrindavan. Srila Sukadeva Goswami, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he glorifies the process of hearing. He says, Tasmad ekena manasa Bhagavan satvatam patihi. First thing, Shrotavya kirtitavya Deya pujyascha nityada. So the first aspect he says is Shrotavya. That is to hear. Srila Narad Muni is talking to Vyasadeva, and he tells, what is the life of a sincere devotee? He says, a sincere devotee, if one is sincere, the first thing one does in spiritual life is, he is searching for an advanced devotee from whom he can take guidance. There are four types of people who come to Krishna. Artha, Artharthu, Jigyasu, Jnani. One who is in distress, one who is in want of wealth, material needs, one who is inquisitive, and one, the Jnani, one who is actually searching for the absolute truth. So, when I look at myself, I surely analyzed and I realized I'm not the last one who's in search of the absolute truth. Lord Krishna says, he's most dear to me. The others are also very dear, who are in want of wealth, who are want of, you know, who are in distress. But the one who's actually searching for me is very dear to me. Why? Because he says, he doesn't have any other motivation. His desire is to get me. The others, their heart is full of other material desires. So, if we analyze our heart is full of so many desires. There are examples like that. There was one person sitting on a tree reading a book in the Western world, and he was reading a Bhagavad Gita, and some person walking down the tree asked him, hey, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to read this book, Bhagavad Gita. I'm interested in spirituality. I want to find who's God. He said, did you understand anything? He said, no. The only thing I understood is, I should find a guru. So this person said, you know any guru? He said, no. This person said, I know a guru in New York, 26 2nd Avenue. There is an old man, Indian man. His name is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. He is a very good guru. So this person said, yes. He jumped down from the tree. He had his own small private plane. He took that plane and he flew to New York. And on New York, he was flying, searching, where is this place? Then the police shouted at him, you cannot fly so low over here. So he parked somewhere outside, came back to 26 2nd Avenue, met Srila Prabhupada, and then surrendered to him. And now we have him at New Vrindavan, His Holiness Barshana Swami Maharaj. So, he was in this category, searching for Krishna, so desperately. In one program where I do, there's one person comes, so much in mode of goodness, and he's so different from all the other people. Whenever he comes, his questions are, what else I have to do to progress in spiritual life? And you tell him, and then he does it. You know? So you have to gradually come to, you know, this number of rounds. Okay. You have to give up. Okay. And so sincere and not attached to money. And he told me then once that from my childhood, I was searching for spiritual life, you know. So I don't remember myself anytime in childhood dreaming about God or searching how will I attain spiritual perfection. And no idea. I can tell so many names of different movies. But we can also achieve that same perfection if we now take up to spiritual life by one-pointed hearing. Tasmad ekena manasa. If we hear Krishna katha constantly, then we can advance. Narad Muni says, a sincere devotee first takes shelter of a spiritual master. When he takes shelter of a spiritual master, what does he do? He takes to the process of sadhana given by the spiritual master very seriously. And especially the first step of the sadhana is chanting and hearing the glories and names of the Lord. Narad Muni is telling Vyasadeva that this devotee takes up to this process very seriously. I need to take my chanting very seriously. Srila Prabhupada said, 99% of our spiritual life is based on how attentively we are trying to chant the holy names of the Lord. I met one devotee, he told me, I'm feeling there is nothing in life. I said, why are you saying like this? I don't know, I'm feeling so goalless. Why are you feeling like that? So then I saw him, he was chanting his rounds very late and during the daytime he was watching movies. So if we do something like this, then how do we expect to get taste in Krishna consciousness? Krishna says, ye yata mam prapadyante, I reciprocate as you approach me. Many times we don't approach properly and then ultimately we get caught up in three things. Complaining, cribbing, criticizing. Because the anarthas of the heart do not go. So the first thing that the devotee does is, he takes the process of chanting and hearing the glories and names of the Lord very seriously. That is a sincere devotee. Hata trippaha. He chants without any fear of the formalities of this world. And then, after he has done that, he wants to share what he has relished. And that is preaching. Preaching is what we are practicing. And Gam Paryatan, he travels to give and share that message with others. And when we share this message with others, people become inspired. Because Krishna's message is very powerful. So there may be followers, there may be so many other. And then there are anarthas in the heart. We may see others are doing better than we are. So there may be envy. But the devotee, one who is a sincere devotee of the Lord, is not envious of others. The reason given is, because he has a very high goal in life. Just imagine, if somebody is earning 100 rupees,
and the other person is earning 1 crore rupee, then he is not envious, or 500 crore. Then he is not envious of the person. He will never feel, I am so envious that you are earning only 100 rupees. Why? Because I have so much. 100 is like nothing. So if somebody who has a very high goal in life, there are so many people who have different goals in life. In India, people may have goals to go to the West. As one time, one devotee was mentioning, he had gone to get his visa. And after he got his visa for the US, he saw one family standing and one man shouting and howling and beating his chest and falling down on the floor. So the devotee went to help him. What's wrong? He's crying, family was crying. He said, my visa is cancelled. He said, no problem, you apply for another time. He said, no, it's been cancelled for third time and now I can never go to the US. So he was crying and lamenting. He was crying because he couldn't achieve the highest goal of his life. A devotee is not envious of others because his goal of life is to go back home, back to Godhead. That's the highest goal. That means not go to US. That's too close. Our goal is, we are going beyond this earth planet, beyond all the other 14 planetary systems, beyond all the coverings of earth, water, fire, air, ether, which are 10 times greater than the other, beyond this whole material universe, beyond the Viraja River, to the highest Goloka, the highest Vaikuntha planet, that is Goloka, Vrindavan. So if somebody has such a high goal and he really meditates, then there is no question of being envious of others. So Narad Muni is saying this, that such a devotee is not envious of others. And then he says, that is Vimatsara. And he is also not proud of going back to Godhead. He is not Vimadha. Otherwise there may be a doubt that, yes, I am going back to Godhead. There may be some pride. So a sincere devotee is not proud. And when he is sharing this message, what he has relished with others, at that time, he doesn't have any thought of material gain. It is not that he is giving it so that he may get so XYZ facilities. He is not concerned. He is not attached. He is not even attached that the person to whom he is giving the message may stay with him, may serve him. He is absolutely detached. And therefore he is very light-hearted. So this is the life of a sincere devotee, as shared by Narada Muni to Vyasadeva. When we are chanting the holy names, the first basic thing about chanting the holy name is not to blaspheme the devotees. That's the first. Burijan Prabhu was mentioning that in one Kartik, he took a vrata. And he took the vrata that I will not criticize anyone. And he said, within 3 days, I broke my vrata. It was only when I took a vrata, I realized, knowingly, unknowingly, how many people I criticize. If I keep hearing these things, discussing about the holy name, discussing about the offenses, then at least I'm aware. Recently I spoke something and then after some time I realized, I think that was criticism. So we have to be conscious of What to speak of criticizing, blaspheming, even not hearing blasphemy or criticism. We cannot, many times we don't have a taste for hearing. One reason which I understand is that we cannot hear from someone for whom we don't have respect. And if we hear criticism and blasphemy about devotees, then naturally we lose respect for that person. And when we lose respect, we make a situation where we don't get to hear about Krishna from that person. So actually we are causing harm to ourselves, because we were going to benefit from that katha, from Krishna katha. But because we have heard, we don't have respect, and therefore we cannot hear. So therefore that's also a very important reason that we have to do. And then Srila Vyasadeva is mentioning here, yad anudhyasina yuktah karma granti nibandhanam chindanti kovidastasya ko na kuryat katharathi. This type of karma granthi, vimatsara, vimadaha, shushusho shaddha dhanasya vasudeva katharuchi syan mahat sevaya vipra punyatirtha nishevanat. I may say, I don't have taste for hearing. I tried to hear, but I don't have taste for hearing. I am not able to chant the holy names properly. Chant means to hear. I am not able to hear the holy names when I chant. My mind is running in full speed. It's not slowing down. And when I sit to chant, I get so many different thoughts. And sometimes I also go into the sleep syndrome. So what do I do? Serve the Mahat. Shushusho shaddha dhanasya vasudeva katharuchi syan mahat sevaya vipraha punya tirtha nishevanat. Rupa Goswami Pad, he mentions in the shloka the different types of devotees and how we should associate with them. Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshyeti charita pranati bhishcha bhajatam isham. And the same word is used over here. Shushushaya bhajana vignya ananya anya. Seems to be very unfair that we have to deal with different devotees in different ways. Krishnetiyasya giritam. You see a neophyte devotee, offer obeisance in the heart. And if you see a devotee who is serving the deity of the Lord, then offer obeisance to him. Like this. And then when you see somebody who is very advanced, then you serve him personally. But when we came to Krishna consciousness, we were told, all devotees you should respect. But here you are telling us that discriminate. So why do we discriminate? We don't judge devotees, we don't discriminate devotees for any other reason other than trying to understand whom we should share our heart with, whom we can open our heart with. That type of devotee is mentioned over here. Shushushya bhajana vignyam ananyam anya nindadi shunyam. One who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Such is the devotee who is free from the propensity to criticize others. If we find such a devotee and we can serve him, then we can make good advancement and get taste for hearing Krishna Katha. So we have to become really, really greedy to find and catch and serve such a devotee. because it is very helpful for us. And then, in the next verse, what happens if we hear, we get the taste, we serve, when we get the taste, then, Shrinvatam Svakataha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridayantastohi Abhadrani Vidunoti Surat Satam. If I hear, then all the misgivings in the heart will be taken away. Then somebody may say, I have been hearing for so many years and I am feeling my misgivings are not going. Maybe there is a lack in the quality of hearing, or maybe that I need to hear more. Another reason which I could feel is that Lord Krishna is conversing with Arjuna. And Arjuna says, Lord Krishna, what happens to your devotee who is not a neophyte and who has not perfected his life? He is somewhere in between. What happens to him? You know, he has not developed taste. For Lord Krishna says, there is no loss. He will make advancement. He will get a better facility. And he also says that a devotee who has heard about me, for such a devotee, he may feel that my heart is not clean. And he may feel when some anarthas rise up, then he may feel very morose. He may lament for that. And that type of remorse will purify his heart. For example, maybe not the best example, but Lord Krishna gave darshan to Narada Muni for a second. And then he disappeared. And Srila Narada Muni, in his previous life, he said, Lord, where are you? He was searching. And then the Lord said that, this life you will not see me anymore. You will simply lament, you feel remorseful, and keep searching for me. Because the tinge of some dirt which is there in your heart, that type of lamentation will purify you. And then you will achieve me. So we should not become hopeless if even after hearing, we may feel we are not making advancement. We should hear. And if we see our anarthas coming up, we feel we can remember. Sometimes such horrible thoughts come up. Then we should not try to relish those thoughts, but feel remorseful. And then take shelter of Krishna more and more and more. That will purify us more. That will bring us closer to Krishna. And second thing, it will also keep us very humble. It will not allow us to become proud. It is Krishna's mercy, actually. So, like that, Lord Krishna, his glories about hearing is mentioned. And mention a little about some other devotees who also achieved perfection by hearing. In Mathura, there are other people who also hear about Krishna. Just like the Brahman Patnis, there are the ladies of Mathura. They keep hearing about Krishna. Akrurji comes to take Krishna and take him to Mathura so that Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna. So Krishna is reaching Mathura. His friends are already there, the gopas. And now they all meet. They do not enter Mathura till Krishna comes. Krishna is a little late in coming, although Krishna went on a chariot. And the Gwalbals, they all went on a bullock cart. And Krishna and Balram have never sat on a chariot before. The first time they are sitting on a royal chariot sent by the king. And so they are very happy. They are seeing all different animals. And they stop at one place where Akrurji goes to take a bath. at the Yamuna. And because he gets darshan of Lord Sankarshan and Krishna, and then he offers prayers. So although they went in a fast vehicle, they are delayed. And then they meet at the gates of Mathura. And then Krishna, along with all his friends, enters Mathura. It's a very beautiful royal city. Gates made of gold and ivory. People's houses are so beautiful. Grains everywhere. It's scented. The streets are clean. And these are village boys, or in one sense forest boys. They are coming to the city. And you know, when village boys, they come to city, they want to see what are the different things. So tall buildings. Oh, we don't have buildings. We have just like small cottages. Here there are tall buildings. So royal. And when they enter, it is said, the women of Mathura, how they take darshan of the Lord. They have never seen Krishna before. This is the first time they are seeing Krishna. They did not go to Vrindavan forest. And Krishna has come here. So they become very excited. That personality about whom we were always hearing, he is so great, he is so beautiful. And today, he is right here in our own city. The women of Mathura hurriedly assembled and went forth to see the two sons of Vasudev. They entered the city on the king's road. Krishna surrounded by cowherd boys. What did the women do? They eagerly climbed to the rooftops of their houses to see them. Krishna was walking on the main street and the women, they went on the roof. Some of the ladies put their clothes and ornaments on backwards. Others forgot one of their earrings or ankle bells, and others applied makeup to one of their eyes but not the other. That means they heard about Krishna so much, they constantly heard about him so much, that their attraction became into a madness. That type of hearing. That forget to put your clothes properly. Forget to put your makeup properly. I was walking one time on the street, close to a park I was going. And suddenly there were many youth over there. A car came in. All these young boys and girls, they just howling and shouting and jumping on this car. One movie actor had come. And all the media was there, Star TV and everything was, they were just focused. Because they have seen that actor, because they have heard that actor, because they know all the leelas of that actor, they are so attracted. They read about that actor regularly. What he's doing, where he's traveling in his holidays, what are the different affairs he has with different people, all the masala. And we have so much about Krishna. How much do we know about that? So if we get that type of craze, of course, these people were so crazy, they wouldn't let the actor come out of the car. And then the police had to come and do lathi charge. So I could say, wow, they have more attraction for this individual than I have for Krishna. So the women of Mathura, they were crazy for Krishna. Those who were taking their meals, they abandoned them. So much crazy that we hear so much that we forget to eat. No matter how good the food is. Others went without finishing their bath and massage. Those who were sleeping, they rose up. Those who were feeding their children, breastfeeding their children, they left them over there. That is the type of craze. The ladies of Mathura had repeatedly heard about Krishna, and thus, as soon as they saw him, their hearts melted. They felt honored that he was sprinkling upon them the nectar of his glances and broad smiles. Krishna immediately reciprocated. You heard about me. You love me so much. and I also love you. And Krishna doesn't have to go on the mic and say that. He can reciprocate simply by giving a smile. And all these ladies, they were just flabbergasted. When Krishna just glanced at them, he was looking up on the rooftops, glanced at them, smiled at them, as if he was sprinkling. And what did they do? They took him in their heart, they embraced him. They were, nice shloka, prasada shikhara rudhaha, preeti utpula mukhambujaha, abhivarshana somanasya, pramada bala keshava. Their lotus faces blooming with affection, the ladies who had climbed to the roofs of the mansions rained down showers of flowers upon Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna. The word used over here is somanasyah, or flowers are called as suman. Suman has two meanings. One is flowers and one is mind. The ladies, their hearts were so captivated that they were showering the flowers and they were showering their mind, focusing their mind on Krishna. Great devotees constantly pray that, my dear Lord, my crazy mind which is traveling in so many places, I pray that one day it may become attached to your lotus feet. So, it was a mahotsav, and seeing Krishna come like that. And then Krishna went on, and this is another time where Krishna begs. Here he has been begging to the Brahmana Patnis, he's been begging from the Brahmanas. And here also, it's not new that Krishna has begged. That's his kindness, he's giving an opportunity. And those who take facility can perfect their life. There is a Rajaka. Rajaka, Srila Prabhupada translates a washerman, but actually he's not an ordinary washerman. He's a color man. He colors, his duty was to color clothes for Kamsa. And he's walking down the street and Lord Krishna begs from him. Lord Krishna says to this Rajaka that, he says, my dear Anga, he says, please give suitable garments to the two of us who deserve them. And if you grant this charity, you will undoubtedly receive the greatest benefit. So Krishna is begging, but this fool, he didn't realize his fortune and he did not give it to Krishna. It's okay, one thing that he did not give to Krishna, he chastised Krishna. He threatened Krishna. Ye yathamam prapadyante, Krishna reciprocated. Krishna always reciprocates more than we expect. Krishna cut off his head. So after his head was cut off, and anyways, he did not give it to Krishna, Krishna took it from him. Then all the gopas, they took all these clothes which had fallen down over there, and they went ahead. And then Krishna met a tailor. And this tailor stitched beautiful clothes for Krishna. Krishna blessed him. Then Krishna met a flower vendor whose name was Sudama. And this flower vendor was so happy to see Krishna. He actually welcomed Krishna, washed his feet. He made washed the feet of all the gopas. He gave them place to sit. He called his whole family. He took all blessings because he knew Krishna is God. And he took full advantage of Krishna. And he gave most beautiful garlands to Krishna. And then Krishna said, Krishna became so happy that Krishna blessed him. He glorified Krishna and then Krishna blessed him very beautifully. He said, what do you want? He asked for three things. Sudama asked for unshakable devotion to Krishna, the supreme soul of all existence. Bhagavan ke liye prem. I want unshakable devotion. My devotion should not go to anyone else. One pointed at your feet, my Lord. Friendship with his devotees. I want friendship. Suhrdiya, with the devotees of the Lord, and transcendental compassion for all living entities. How we deal with God, how we deal with His devotees, and how we deal with all living entities. This is a very important aspect. So three things he asked from the Lord. And then Krishna gave him all this benediction and he walked ahead. And then the third person, next person Krishna met was another lady, and her name is Kubja. And with this I will end. This was Atha Vrajan Rajapathena. This was the main road of the king. She was going towards the king's palace. And Lord Krishna was coming, and right in front, Krishna saw her and he asked her, "Who are you, O beautiful tied one?" "Ah, ornament. Who is it for, my dear lady? Please tell us truthfully. Give us both some of your finest ornament and you will soon gain a great boon." Krishna is a young boy. This girl, Kubja, Sukhdev Goswami, at least in 2-3 verses, he mentions again and again that she was a hunchback, but her face was very beautiful. She was actually a very beautiful lady. And Krishna, as a young boy, was talking to this very young lady on the main road where everyone is walking. And he was with his brother and friends. And this lady was a servant of Kamsa. So it's quite awkward for a young boy to speak to a young girl like this. And why does Krishna ask for who this is? That's also amazing. Because Krishna is the knower of everything. He already knows as Paramatma for who, what is, who's who. He knows all the who's who. Then why is he asking like that? One thing that can be learned is that when a person becomes bewildered by the beauty of the opposite sex, then he forgets who's who and for what. So Krishna is trying to tease that and he's saying, for whom this is? And before she can answer, he says, "Oh, why don't you give it to me?" And he asked, this is the next time he's begging. And Kubja, Krishna is so beautiful, she becomes so bewildered by his beauty that she becomes very brave. Even the Brahmana Patnis, they have heard so much about Krishna, they become so brave that they go against all the social norms, against their husbands, and surrender to Krishna. Kubja is a servant of Kamsa. She tells Krishna that Dasya asmi aham sundara Kamsa sammita. I am a servant of Kamsa. She is called as Sairandri. And she is on the main road, the king's road. Prabhupada translates the Rajapath as king's road. She says, "I am the king's servant," and she wants to give it. And she says, "This ornament is Bhojapater Atipriya. Bhojapater is Kamsa, and this ornament which I make is very dear to him. But you are the right person to receive it." So she is going to be killed for what she is doing. She becomes so attracted to Krishna. Why does she become, for what? What attracts her? Rupa, Peshala, Madhurya. What is Rupa? Krishna's form is very beautiful. Then Peshala is Krishna is youth, his Kaumarya. He's very young, he's just budding out. That is very beautiful. And Madhurya, that means his rasa, he's very sweet. And Hasitala, his smile, his laughter. And six things that she becomes attracted to: words and his glances. So all these things of Krishna, she becomes so attracted to that she wants to take all the risk of being executed by Kamsa. And she offers this chandan. She actually does not give it in his hand. She applies it on Krishna from the navel up to the forehead. And it is said that it was a contrast. The next shloka, Krishna was wearing yellow, Balaram was wearing blue. She was very expert. She had many colors. So she applied different color to Krishna. She applied blue color to Krishna and yellowish color to Balaram, so that Krishna looked like Balaram, Balaram looked like Krishna. They look very beautiful. Just like in Chandan Yatra, we decorate the deities with her hands personally. And of course then Krishna became very merciful to her and gave her all the beauty and love that one is always hankering for. So one can develop such love for Krishna if one keeps hearing from the advanced devotees of the Lord. And I hope and I pray that I can dedicate this life more and more in hearing about Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.